Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined today by fearless co-host Trey Watkins. Trey, how are you?
I'm good. My last day of spring break is today and I have stuff to do, unfortunately, this week, so.
Oh, well, be thankful you even got a spring break. I did not.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. All the big universities didn't get a spring break, man.
They canceled spring break, so...
Oh, man.
I hope that you've enjoyed it for me, but...
I have.
I have not had a great spring break. That said, I think I might sort of, die this week. I feel already, a growing sense of panic. About the end of the semester, but I might hit the library tomorrow and see what happens. And maybe take a day off Tuesday before my schedule gets extra busy with March Madness tipping off soon, so that'll be exciting.
Utah State.
Utah State in the dance, playing Mac McClung. Let's go steal his soul, put him in a casket, and move forward, which would be good. Potential second round matchup with former Nevada head coach Eric Musselman, a team that Coach the Aggies know very, very well. So,
really,
potentially, if they win one, I think they can win two. So, that will be my estimation. Anyhow, let's get to the NFL. A lot of NFL news this week, Trey. So much happening. And but where we're going to break this down is we're going to go through the free agent signings. We'll stop on the big ones. But you'll say, hell yeah, or hell nah. And we'll go through and I'll tell you some contract details of some of the free agents that have signed thus far that are notable. And then we will decide a few top free agents that we believe should be available, obviously, for this year. That is what we're thinking. Before we start, Drew Brees, obviously, that's the big news of the day, retiring. Trey, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on Drew Brees, his career as a whole?
I think you can sum it up as a career that was full of trials and tribulations, but ultimately it was a career that ended with Drew standing at the top of record books all across the league. I mean, we can't forget that Drew Brees, he was an undersized guy coming out of Purdue, went to San Diego. Had some success there, then had that real bad shoulder injury where some people thought it was going to maybe somewhat potentially derail his career. But New Orleans took a chance on him. They brought him in when the organization was horrible. A lot of people forget that. Before Drew Brees came, the Saints organization was a mess. They hadn't won in years. The roster was a mess. It was just a downright all-around poor situation in New Orleans. And Drew Brees came over there. Some pieces here and there. Sean Payton, you added those pieces on that offense. You had Marcus Colston. You added Reggie Bush. Some of those other classic weapons that Drew Brees and Sean Payton had together, and they just put together years of success, piled upon years of success. And then they ultimately ended up with a Super Bowl ring. They should have had multiple. They should have had one between that range of, 2017 and 2018, 2019. Something like that. They should have had at least one ring in between our veins, but we won't dive too deep into, the whole debacle in the NFC Championship game with the Rams. But it was a great career for a guy that had so much trial and tribulation throughout his career. Ultimately, he gets to go out the way he wants to go out. And as we saw in this Instagram video announcing his retirement, he gets to spend more time with his kids. So good on him, man. I wish him a very, very happy retirement. And hopefully maybe we can see him contribute more into the game. Not coaching, who knows, but I hope we can see him stick around football in some way or order.
Yeah. I would add to that that Breeze was a top three quarterback pretty much his entire career, aside from the last two, I would say, but was never the best at his position, which is kind of an interesting spot to be. Manning and Brady were always kind of outclassing him. And then the year in which it looked like he was the MVP, people forget that's also the year Patrick Mahomes got his first start for the Chiefs. So that obviously was derailed by Mahomes' first full season with the Chiefs, in which he won the MVP. But that year, that, what was it now? That 2016, 2017, 2018 year was one of Drew Brees' best years. And it'll always kind of get lost in the record books. And, you know, Brees, I don't think he'll go down as, you know, a top five quarterback at the position or anything like that, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer and a guy who was top three in the league for most of his entire career. And it just, it's the end of an era in the NFL. I mean, Drew Brees and Philip Rivers gone within the same offseason. Those are two marquee names for the NFL out the door. And, you know, the next question is who starts for the New Orleans Saints? Ian Rappaport tweeted he thinks it'll be Jameis Winston, but Taysom Hill also just restructured his contract today. So he will remain on the roster as well, which I know that you and I are not fans of. But yeah, the Saints are an interesting team going into 2021. A team that still has a lot of their talent and a team that I think if they get lucky at quarterback, they can be a playoff team again, I believe.
Yeah, they can. They still have those some important guys on that defense aside from Trey Henderson. Who knows what's going to happen with him in free agency. He's going to have some offers out there on the market, but they still have most of their talent on that defense that's made a name for itself over the past couple of years. And same on that offense. You still have Michael Thomas, you have Alvin Kamara. You still have most of that offensive line, you know, Armstead, and I keep forgetting this name. They got that rookie from Michigan last year, starting in the interior, center guard. I keep forgetting his name. I love him. But they still got the talent all around to, you know, still be competitive. And like you said, if they get some decent quarterback play, they'll be a playoff team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, we'll talk about some of their signings later, but they did retain Marcus Williams, so most of the defense comes back. They might lose Trey Hendrickson in free agency, but outside of that, there is very little that is an issue for this team going into 2021. Although I heard a hypothesis that to get under the cap, a Michael Thomas trade could be coming deeper in the offseason, but that there's no reporting to suggest that's the case as of yet. So that's just kind of a hypothesis posited by the Around the NFL podcast that I thought was interesting. All right. Really? Let's get to some of the news here. Hell yeah or hell nah. Tell me about these free agency signings. And we'll start with one that we can talk about for a second. Dak Prescott re-signing with the Cowboys, a four-year deal, $160 million.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah times 10, man. I mean, Dak, there was probably, I guess there were some decent situations for Dak on the market, I guess, roster and scheme-wise, but I think it all made sense for both parties to come together and for Dak to just remain in Dallas because Dak in Dallas has turned into arguably a top five quarterback in the entire NFL. And that's with the defense last year looking horrendous and Zeke Elliott regressing, looking like a bottom 20 running back. It's been hard for Zeke, but back to that, it made sense, made plenty of sense. He got the money that he wanted. Actually, he got more than what he wanted, in terms of the reported salary that Dak was demanding last offseason. So, hell yeah for Dak staying in Dallas. Hell yeah for Dallas keeping Dak, because they didn't keep Dak, and I highly doubt they would have failed to keep him. But if they did keep Dak, then they would have been in some trouble, because their defense, it has some talent around it, but gosh, they need some adjustments, scheme wise, which they addressed in the offseason with Dan Quinn, and they need some additions roster wise. So, hell yeah for both sides. Happy for Dak for getting the money he deserved after that gruesome ankle injury he had, and it pains me to say this, but happy for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys for keeping their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be really high on the Cowboys all offseason. I've kind of come to that realization over the past few days because, I mean, you look at the division, the Eagles are down, the Giants are down, the football team is down. The Cowboys are the only team that have a for sure answer at quarterback, along with incredible weapons at wide receiver, and who knows about Zeke Elliott, who knows, but you've got Tony Pollard behind him if he doesn't work out. And Dak Prescott, I mean, in what was it, 4 or 5 games, threw for over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And, he was on MVP pace. He was going to be the MVP if he stayed healthy. And I'm just super high on the Cowboys. They may not have the best record in the NFL. They may not have the best roster, but I think they are going to have the best offense come September when this whole thing kicks off. And I think they're going to have a shot to make a run and at least be a playoff team in 2022. I think they're a really – 2021, I guess I should say. They are a really good team right now. And if Dak can stay healthy, that's a positive.
Yeah. I try to buy high on the Cowboys. I really do. They have so much talent, but every single year they just take a dagger and they just stab you in the back and betray you for even believing in them in the first place. I don't know. Look, with these sorts of situations, sooner or later a team's going to put it all together. We can forget all the rough stuff in the past, but it's just hard to buy high on Dallas. I'm more inclined to believe in Washington, especially if they get a decent quarterback option in the offseason and add some more weapons.
They still have so many holes. I don't see those same holes with Dallas, because Dallas, all they really need is, we've seen the players on that defense have success before in a different scheme.
Yeah, that's true.
All they really need is to improve the secondary and maybe get a linebacker to as kind of a backup plan for Jalen Smith and Lane Vander Esch. And I think they're honestly set. I think the defensive line needs some help up front, especially run stuffing, but you can find those guys in free agency. Shelby Harris might be on the market. And man, I do think that they'll make moves this offseason. They'll be a mover and a shaker, and I think that they're going to be a team to watch kind of going into free agency and the draft and going into the dead of the offseason in June, July.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, and I can understand your reasoning. I'll just have to see some proof from Dallas to start believing in them moving forward, because like I said, they've just betrayed me so many times in the past that I'm having PTSD, man. I'm getting shivers just thinking about trying to support Dallas. I'm chilling over here, Eric. I'm chilling. Just thinking about Dallas having success after believing them for so long is giving me chills, man.
All right, Trey. Cam Newton resigns with the Patriots on a one-year deal.
Hell yeah for Cam. Hell no for the Patriots. This was probably the best case scenario for Cam all offseason, or what's probably going to be the best situation for Cam all offseason long, simply because of that. His market was going to be extremely limited. Even a guy who doesn't even cover football or watch football like that can maybe look at Cam's stats and whatever, and they can tell that his market's going to be limited over the offseason because the stats were bad, but he didn't look all that good on the field either. So coming back to New England where he's familiar with the people, well, somewhat. After a year, he's going to have a full offseason to learn more of the system, get his feet under him, get in more of a groove as the season gets along. Maybe even probably be the bridge guy until they find another guy for the future. But this is probably the best case scenario for Cam, for the Patriots. And I say hell no because there's been reports saying the Patriots are still in the quarterback market, which, yes, they 100% should be. But if they don't add a guy maybe for the future, a guy they can sit back and maybe work on a little bit maybe and see what they got with Cam, and while hoping Cam can get them, like you said, some sort of bridge performance as the future goes along, then this, I don't know what the Patriots are doing then, because you can't rely on Cam for your quarterback at the future right now. I mean, he's over 30. Like I said, he hasn't been playing well. Anybody can tell that. So I don't know. The Patriots need a young guy that they can put back and hope they can put him in for the future, because like I said, it's uninspiring to have Cam, you know, back there, especially after how he played last year.
I think I want to sit on the fence on this one because while you're right, he was not good last year. He had no help. And I think this is a good move for the Patriots because if you look, now they have cap space. They have a decent draft pick, but they don't have enough draft capital where they can move up and get the quarterback of the future. So I think smartly what Bill Belichick is doing is he's trying to rebuild the team outside of quarterback. So in a year or two, maybe he does go out and trade future first round picks next year for, say, a guy like, oh, I don't know, Russell Wilson. Who knows? But I think that it's smart to take Cam for at least another year because he's a better option, I think, than a guy you're going to get at 15. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best option that you're going to get at quarterback. And they're going to trade N'Keal Harry, it sounds like. If you totally restart at wide receiver, go out, sign a guy, draft a guy, and focus on your offense this offseason, I do think that the Patriots can be more successful next year with that kind of model. But Cam is consistency. And I don't know, would you rather the Patriots go into 2020 with like Jamie Newman or Jared Stidham as their starting quarterback? I don't know. They're picking at 15. I don't think there's going to be any quarterbacks available at that spot unless you want maybe Mac Jones. But do you really want to see Mac? Like do you really want to see Mac Jones with no weapons? It just I think this is a smart move by the Patriots.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, just going back to Mac Jones, I don't know why, but Mac Jones feels like a Patriot. I don't know. Mac Jones feels like a Patriot to me. It's some weird thing about me, probably. I don't know. I just wanted to say that, but yeah. You're probably right. I don't know what options would be there at 15 because the top 10 is going to be littered with quarterbacks: Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. Hope I'm not missing anybody. But yeah, it's going to be littered with quarterbacks, and you're right. It's going to be hard for a team like the Patriots at 15 to find the guy that they can be real confident about moving forward. You're right about that. But and that's what I'm saying. I want the Patriots, and I know I've been a big supporter of Cam in the past, and I still am, But it's just hard to envision him still going out there having success, because the Patriots aren't, and you said the team might be still rebuilding, you know, aside from quarterback. But I think the Patriots, you know, they have a lot of the defensive talent coming back last year after most of it opted out due to COVID. I think if that defense can be, let's say, half as good as what it was the season before last, that I think they can be contention for a playoff spot. And for that, you need, you know, halfway decent quarterback play. I highly believe so. So, I don't know. It's an odd situation for the Patriots, really. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it pans out, because this is probably one of those moves where if it looks good, you'll look back and you'll say, I was stupid, you know, for saying this, da da da. So we'll just have to see how it pans out. I hope it pans out well for both parties, though, because both parties seem to like each other, I guess you could say, from a professional standpoint. So we'll see how it plays out.
Gotcha. Running backs, Aaron Jones re-signs with the Packers 4-year deal.
Man. I want to say hell yeah for Aaron Jones. Oh, actually, that's tough. I think I'm a sit on this one, really, because this is such a weird situation for the Packers and Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones played like one of the more explosive running backs in all of football for what, the past two, three seasons. Don't quote me on that. I'm assuming last two, three seasons. So, but Aaron Jones looked mighty explosive, and he put up the production to match that explosion as well. He brought so much to that offense. But you know, then the Packers went out, they drafted another running back, AJ, with what was it, a second round pick?
Yeah,
It's just a weird situation for Green Bay, because Green Bay had all this time to surround Aaron Rodgers with weapons, but instead they got a running back and they drafted Aaron Rodgers' future replacement. Assumingly, it's just a weird situation with the and they're already cap strapped, I believe. So signing Aaron Jones, that big deal. Not leaving money to try to go after a real decent wide receiver number two. And there's some pretty good options out there on the market for wide receiver number two. It's just a weird situation to me, because the Packers could have really gone out there and got a guy maybe like Will Fuller, or maybe a guy like Marvin Jones, who knows, Marvin Jones, you know, for that wide receiver two position. And finally in, you know, the constant revolving door of wide receiver two options in Green Bay, but instead they re-sign Aaron Jones and still have that second-round running back on the roster. It's weird. The Packers have made some weird roster moves, weird important roster moves over the past couple of years, to the point where I still don't know what they're doing. I know they, of course, they still want to contend, but what do they want to do after that? Because Aaron Rodgers isn't getting any younger. At some point, you're going to have to start thinking about what you want to do post-Aaron Rodgers. And it,
and I keep that though, and I feel like we should ban that, honestly.
Really? I don't know, because
they've been to back-to-back conference title games. Used to feel the same way, but like they've proven that they can win with these receivers, they can win with this defense. The secondary is one of the best in the league.
It's just Jair Alexander back there.
The linebackers are good. They have pass rush in Za'Darius Smith. Like,
they do.
I just Rashawn Gary kind of came into his own at the end of the year. I see the Packers as a pretty complete roster right now.
Complete roster, but situation-wise, and I know after this year, the cap's probably assumingly going to go up after, you know, the whole COVID mess blows over, and then the revenue will go up. You can get the cap number up. So the salary cap and, you know, the cap hits won't be too much of a problem for Green Bay, but what are they doing? I mean, what are they doing? I'm like I said, they want to contend. They got 38, damn near 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers still carrying that offense along with.
All right, we're back. Sorry about that, folks. I had to momentarily deal with someone knocking at my chamber door. But Trey, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I don't totally agree, but I just.
But do you? It's hard, and I'm trying to explain it. It's like I don't know what the Packers are doing, man. Like I know. Look, I know they want to contend.
They're trying to win now.
Yeah, of course. But oh my gosh,
I'm really confused about what you're saying.
Maybe I'm just maybe I'm just overthinking this because I get so confused when teams make the moves like the Packers did. You got a second round running back on the roster. But you re-sign Aaron Jones to that big deal and gloss over cap space they can use for a good wide receiver too. I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking this. I'm probably overthinking this.
Gotcha. I'm going to say hell nah. Shouldn't pay running backs. That's my thing. 4-year deal. Who knows if he's going to even be rosterable in 2 years with the way these running backs decline. So that's my thought. All right, a little bit of a lightning round on running backs here. We don't have to talk about everything. So I'll ask you to expand when I want you to expand here, Trey, because we do have a lot of people to get through. But we've talked about the big names, so we'll keep talking about the big names. But Mark Ingram signs with the Texans on a 1-year deal worth $2.5
Look, it's the Texans. Look, at this point, it's just hard to rationalize what the Texans.
Just hell yeah or hell nah.
No, I'm sorry. When you talk about the Texans, I want to just dive into it and explain what the heck they're doing wrong. So,
all right.
My apologies.
No worries. I'm going to say hell yeah, actually, just for Mark Ingram. Like, this feels like the perfect place where he's not going to have much competition. He can get healthy. And if he still has anything left, he can hit free agency next year and get another, you know, keep living off 1-year deals and hit the Frank Gore portion of his career where he just kind of travels around as a running back for hire for like between $2 and $5 million. And yeah, it feels like a pretty sweet part of his career to be in.
Yeah. It could be trade bait too. Midseason trade bait if all goes well too.
That is a good point. They need – okay, now we can expand on this one a little bit. Allen Robinson franchise tagged.
Hell yeah for the Bears. Hell no for Allen Robinson. Yeah. I mean, it's easy. I mean, if you're Allen Robinson, why would you want to stay in Chicago when Chicago doesn't even have a quarterback option or a good quarterback option for 2021? And if you're the Bears, I mean, you keep Allen Robinson. He's one of the best wide receivers in football. I think it's pretty simple. Like it's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's true. I just, it sucks that he's going to stay there. But that's also part of the growing smoke that they're going to make a move for like a Russell Wilson or somebody. Why wouldn't he have demanded a trade by now? If I don't know, maybe they've told him like, hey, we're going hard after.
Well, they said there's some reports saying Allen Robinson isn't signing his tender anytime soon. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. All right. Chris Godwin franchise tagged. Just a quick hell yeah or hell nah.
Hell yeah.
All right.
For both sides.
Yeah. Good deal for both sides. Continuing in the lightning round of wide receivers, Tyrell Williams signing a 1-year deal with the Lions.
I mean, I guess I'll go hell yeah for both sides. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't bad before he got hurt.
Yeah, but he just hurt all the time.
Yeah, I think he's a solid guy for what they're trying to do. No one notable in the tight ends. Offensive tackles. Taylor Motton, franchise tagged by the Panthers.
Hell yeah. I like that.
Cam Robinson, franchise tagged by the Jaguars. This was the one franchise tag that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But
yeah.
You know what it does tell me, though, Trey? I think the Jaguars are going to spend a ton of money in the next few weeks.
See, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you.
Yeah. I think that they're all in this offseason. I think they're going to go hard in the draft. They're going to go hard in free agency, and they're going to totally try to rebuild for roster. I mean, they already have some promising pieces with who's the running back? Oh, my God, I forgot.
James Robinson.
They've got LaVisca Chenault, who's a decent wideout. They've got some they got some decent players, CJ Henderson. But one thing I didn't see, I did see that they re-signed Trey Herndon, which did not make a lot of sense to me. Wasn't he one of the worst cornerbacks in the league last year? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Look, when it's Trent Baalke, whatever his name is, the horrible ex 49ers DM, when you have him running team, you're bound to have a couple questioning moves or two.
Gotcha. Offensive guards, Brandon Scherff gets a franchise tag by Washington. That's probably good for both sides. Defensive ends, Leonard Williams franchise tag by the Giants.
I like that for both sides. Love that.
All right. Continuing on, defensive tackles. Nothing huge yet there. Lavonte David re-signs with the Bucks.
Yeah, I love that for both sides as well.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Keep the core together, yeah. Keep the core together, man.
Matt Milano, that's also a good signing. I'm pretty sure we both agree on that.
Yep.
Two good linebackers return to contending teams, which is always a good thing. Christian Kirksey. Signing with the Texans on a one-year deal. What do you think of that one?
I mean, sure. For both sides, I guess, sure. Christian Kirksey, I've never been really the biggest fan of Kirksey. I think he has some limitations in his game. And, I mean, I guess the Texans are trying to get as much talent under, or as much as cheap talent on, you know, their team as possible, since they're doing somewhat of a fire this offseason. So, yeah. I guess hell yeah for both sides, I guess. I think it makes more of a hell yeah for both sides, especially after the Texans traded Bernard McKinney this morning, wasn't it? Or last night? I can't remember. But, yeah, I think I'll go hell yeah for both sides.
All right. And that's about it for linebackers. Emmanuel Mosley, cornerback, re-signing with the 49ers. I'm going to go hell no on this one. To me, he is a very average cornerback. I mean, they got him at a good price, $10 million, 2 years. Not terrible, but I just feel like they could have upgraded at corner.
No, they could have, and they needed to, because their corner situation has been somewhat of a question mark, even with the addition of Richard Sherman, because he's been hurt himself a fair amount of times ever since he got to San Francisco. So, yeah, they could have upgraded. But like you said, the price is relatively cheap. It's not bad. If they can find a couple corners to get above him on that depth chart, then I think this isn't a terrible move. It's still not a, you know, inspiring move. But if you can get some competitive guys, some good guys that are better than Mosley, then it's not a bad move at all, in my opinion.
Well,
you still got.
Yeah, that's an interesting take there. I think they still might upgrade. I think you're right.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I don't know if they still have Ferret, who was good when he was healthy. I'll have to look back on their roster, but I think they got maybe, what, one or two good corners maybe on their roster already? I haven't
looked. Well, they're going to lose Richard Sherman likely.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah.
Franchise tags for Justin Simmons. I'll take this one. Good for the Broncos. I think that they're working to sign a long-term deal on that one. Marcus May, franchise tag by the Jets.
I haven't really, you know, dived too deep into that situation.
I like him. He's a good safety. That was a smart move by the Jets to keep him around. And finally, Marcus Williams. I'll take this one. Hell nah. I mean, this guy is so up and down for the Saints. Sometimes he's great, sometimes he's not. I guess the only real option they had was to franchise him or be looking for help at safety. But I just feel like a long-term deal for him seems a little bit risky.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to we're going to keep this one a little shorter today. Before we go to our final five question segment, which is going to be a regular off-season thing that we do, let's take a look at Greg Rosenthal's top 101 free agents really quick. And I just want to read his top 10 free agents really quick. And we can go by pairs of five, and then we can look at the outside five and debate what we think of this list, what we think of our own lists.
Okay.
One, Trent Williams. Two, Shaq Barrett. Three, Bud Dupree. Four, Trey Hendrickson. And five, Carl Lawson.
My list is a little bit different from that. I mean, that's not a bad list at all, really. Trent Williams is one. Trent Williams is one is probably it's not a hot take, but I can see it and I can see it and I can totally agree with it. You say you want me to go with my five, right? Compared to that?
Well, if you want, or you can just pick and choose where your differences are or what you agree with, what you disagree with.
Well, see, I just switched one and two. Okay. Compared to Greg Rosenthal, I had Shaq at one, Trent Williams at two. Then I had Kenny Galladay. I had at three. Kenny Galladay, I think he's probably the best wide receiver. He's actually the best wide receiver on the market right now. At four, I had Carl Lawson. So many pressures with Cincinnati. So many pressures with Cincinnati, and those pressure numbers will start translating into sacks soon. I guess that's the rhetoric or the old school narrative these days. And then at five, I see I made this late at night, so you can slander me and laugh at me all you want, Aaron. I won't take it personal because I made this late at night and I was really tired. At five, I had Aaron Jones because I was so in love with his explosiveness out the backfield. But if I had a chance to go over that, I would probably replace him with somebody, after further consultation.
Interesting, yeah. One thing this class does not lack is edge rushers. If you need pass rush, you're going to be able to get it. It's pretty deep as far as pass rushers go. And then the rest of his top 10, six, Kenny Galladay. Seven, Jadeveon Clowney. That one's a little bit high for me.
Way too high.
Eight, Joe Thuney. Nine, Matt Judon. And 10, Corey Linsley, the Packers center. I disagree with how high he has Jadeveon Clowney. But I guess that a change of scenery might help. I just don't think he's ever been that good. And but he's also one of Greg's guys, so I think that sort of explains that. So I disagree with it, but I can see why he made that decision. He does make a few plays off the ball. I didn't watch him a ton last year just because of the health stuff, but yeah, man, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You watched him a ton. I mean, do you think he can be successful somewhere else?
Look, if Jadeveon Clowney can somehow start getting good pressure off the edge as an edge rusher, then yeah, I think he'll be good somewhere else. But he just can't do that. He's so athletically twitchy. He's so quick, but he's not bendy like those edge rushers. So when you see him rushing off the edge, he stands up a little too much, and he gets a little stagnant with his pass rush set. So, or his pass rush reps, excuse me. So. If Jadeveon Clowney can magically start getting a little more bend off the edge, then he's going to be fine. And along with the health that keeps up, because that, along with some of the limitations in this game, even though the positives in this game are so overwhelming, it's the fact that his health is, you know, a red flag, and it's been a red flag. So if he can get his health under control and add, I guess you say erase some of those limitations to his game, then yeah, he's going to be good because he still has the athleticism to do it. Even with all the injuries that he's had, he's still really, really good athletically. So who knows? We'll just have to see how that plays out with him, though.
Yeah, Matt Judon's another guy that's interesting. Ravens linebackers don't always translate other places, but I do think that he can be successful as an edge rusher elsewhere. The guys he has just outside of his top 10, and there's one here that I'm really interested to see what you think about. Yannick Ngakoue, 11, Will Fuller, 12, Jameis Winston, 13, Curtis Samuel, 14, 15, Juju Smith-Schuster.
See, and I had Will Fuller and Curtis Samuel inside the top 10 for me, because those are just two speedy guys that can really take the top off of defense. And with Curtis Samuel, you can use him anywhere. Wide receiver or boundary wide receiver, slot, you can even use him at running back. So, I mean, you're going to be getting your money's worth with him.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel's young too. Still only 25.
Real young. So I had Will Fuller and Curtis Samuel inside my top 10. Will Fuller and Curtis Samuel inside my top 10. That's probably the only changes that I have. I agree with him with the other guy I said he had outside his top 10. I think, did he have Bud Dupree? I'm trying to pull up the stuff.
He was up at the top five. He was in the top five.
Bud Dupree. I had Bud Dupree at around like 10. I'm just not that big of a huge fan of Bud Dupree. Until I could see that he could start holding his weight, without TJ Watt. And I know that's kind of unfair to bounce on the guy, but it's literally Bud Dupree just didn't, wasn't. And okay, here's what I want to say. Bud Dupree wasn't the outstanding eye-opening player, pass rusher, defensive player that he was the past 2 years, until TJ Watt turned into a crazy big star. That's what I want to say. So I want to see Bud Dupree carry his own weight a little bit, and that's why I would be a little bit hesitant, to hand over the big dollars.
That's interesting. I'm a big Bud Dupree fan. I think he's one of the better defensive players in the league. I disagree. I think he can translate anywhere. And I'll be interested to see where he signs. He
has really good traits, man. Really.
Yeah,
good.
He deserves a boatload of money. And I think he is going to pretty much get that almost immediately. When he hits the market here.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a good player, and I think he'll do well. Finally here, let's talk about teams we want to track this offseason. So this is all in preparation for this fall is going to be like one my last fall in school, and I'm going to be taking a few more challenging courses. So I like to cover this, and I like doing the podcast, but I'm not exactly sure how much time I'm going to have to devote to football. So before the regular season, we'll do this too, and we will talk sort of about how teams we want to follow. But both of us are going to follow two additional teams in addition to our own in the regular season, and that's kind of how we'll do previews and recaps. I'm thinking is we'll focus on primetime games and then those six teams that we talked about. And that'll usually give us a pretty good view of the entire NFL, I think, just because of how many teams those six will have to play. But for the off season, I thought it might be interesting to kind of do the same thing. So this is something, Trey, where you and me get ingrained with this team. We start tweeting about this team when they make moves. We start following this team's beat writers. We start turning on notifications. We, on our favorite sports apps, we add them as, quote, favorite teams. We do this for teams this offseason and track them through the offseason. So that's kind of my thinking on this. We each pick one in the AFC, one in the NFC. It can be any team. There are no rules. And I think that That is going to be something we track this off season a little bit. Mm-hmm. So with that, I will give you the first pick of teams. Who are you going to be tracking this offseason?
Out of all the teams, and this is a very difficult decision to make. All the NFL teams are fun to cover throughout the season. Football is great. Football saves you from everything. Football can cure all your problems, all your life problems. Probably not all your life problems, but football is fun. You get the idea, don't you, Eric? So any team is probably fun to cover unless your team's miserable, right? But the AFC team that I wanted to pick, yeah, there's a lot of noise around it. You know, they had new head coaching hire, potentially some movement regarding their quarterback situation. I want to, in the AFC, I'm going to, you know, pay a little bit extra attention more to the New York Jets.
Interesting.
I like the Robert Saleh hire. They have tons of cap space. They can do a lot of things. And it's going to be a pivotal offseason for Joe Douglas. So that's one of the teams that's really intrigued me. I want to see what Joe Douglas does with, you know, his first full offseason where he can sit back and do what he wants to do. He can trade Sam Darnold and draft Zach Wilson. He can do whatever you want. So in order to, you know, to shape the team to his vision and get this team a winner, get this team to being a winner again. So that's probably my pick for the AFC. They're an intriguing team with a lot of resources available to them to make this offseason, you know, a good one for them that can help them reap the benefits moving forward.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to change up the structure of this episode now. I'll pick an AFC team too, and we'll say our NFC teams next week. That's a little bit of a tease. So come back, listen to next week's show, and we will take our NFC team. AFC-wise, this one's tough. I didn't want to go with the Chargers just because I already do that. I wanted to go with someone that I didn't follow as tightly. And I think for me, that team's going to be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm really interested to see what they do. Lamar Jackson obviously has them in a window where it's win now. And if they add some weapons around him, I think it can help him develop as a passer. And I think he has those tools. And this is just a crucial year, I feel like, and an offseason that's crucial for his development. So I'm pretty interested in what the Ravens are going to do. And I think I'm going to take the Ravens as the team I track in the offseason this year. All right. Finally, five questions for me, sort of rapid fire, and then we'll get out. And next week we'll do five questions for you. But go ahead, five questions.
All right, let me find my – yeah, here we go. First off, who do you think will receive the most expensive deal in free agency?
Trent Williams. I do think tackles are – like, he's the one guy where he's a tackle. He's been proven his entire career. He's still got 4 or 5 years left, probably playing at a high level, and he's going to demand the money. So I think he'll be the guy.
All right. Another free agency question. Where do you think Kenny Golladay signs?
There's smoke apparently around the Giants.
Giants, really?
Which is an interesting one. Kind of makes sense. They're losing some guys this offseason. Golden Tate's a free agent. I'll say the Giants just because I think that'd be interesting to see that Daniel Jones, Kenny Golladay combination. And I think they're going to be in a spot where they want – it's sort of like Drew Lock going into last season. They want to give the guy as many weapons as possible, so there's no excuses this year. And I think that they'll give him Golladay, and if that doesn't work out, Golladay will play with the top quarterback coming out of next year's draft. So I think either way, it's a win-win for him.
All right. Well, I had this question before the Cam Newton news. It was regarding who's going to be starting at quarterback in 2021, but I think – we all know it's going to be Cam Newton in 2021, so I'll switch it up a bit. Who's the quarterback option, do you think, the Patriots will add in the offseason to go along with Cam Newton? Will it come in free agency or the draft?
I'm still not convinced that even though they made this move, something about it just screams to me that, for one, I think the 49ers are going to be active this year. I don't think Jimmy G's a starting week one quarterback in San Francisco. I've said that a lot now. I think Kirk Cousins ends up there. But I would say a trade for Jimmy G to me still seems kind of likely.
That's fair. This isn't really more of a question. I guess you can, you know, paint it as a question if you want. But I want you to give me the over-under of how many years or how much time, excuse me, Sam Darnold has left as the New York Jet. Because there's been some smoke, you know, saying that the Jets could be prepared to move on and draft a quarterback at two.
Less than a year.
Less than a year?
Yeah. I don't think he'll be a Jet after this offseason.
Okay. Last one, it's not a football question. It's sort of a TV. It's sort of a TV show question.
Oh, all right. I like this.
Which show is better? Yes, sir. Which show is better, The Breaking Bad or The Wire? Have you watched any of those two?
I might be bad at this. No, I've never watched either of those shows. not a second. I've seen some of Breaking Bad. My parents got really into that. I know The Wire is critically acclaimed, and nothing against The Wire. I just, I didn't have HBO growing up, and I still don't have HBO. If I had HBO, I think I'd watch The Wire. Really? So I'll go The Wire. But maybe try again with a different set of TV shows that you think I may have watched.
I don't know what TV you watch, Eric. You gotta give me some clues.
Take a guess. This is the off season. Where this is part of the reason I want to do this, so we get to know each other better.
What type of TV does Eric Jensen watch? Huh. That would take some time for me to think, because all I know you for is you being the football maniac that you are.
Exactly. That, so we should, we need to get to know each other better.
You see, okay, and I'm
this is bonding.
I will say this here. You seem like the type of guy to me that would watch stuff like on National Geographic. Not like the brainy shows, but like the nature shows that come on. Not a big nature show guy.
I like to turn off my brain when I watch TV.
Okay. That's interesting, because I literally cannot get a read on what type of TV you like, man. I can't get a
read. I like comedy.
Comedy?
Yeah.
Have you watched The Sopranos then?
No. I should. I don't have HBO. I told you.
You should get, bro. You could. I could literally sing you like. Can I? Am I allowed to say this? You know, on a podcast, man. You know, pirating stuff, bro.
Are you gonna spoil Sopranos?
No, I want to give you a couple sites to watch it for free.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Bet. I can't think of any other comedy shows though, because there's not a lot of comedy.
The Sopranos is a comedy.
The Sopranos is a comedy on top of whatever the hell it is.
What that tells me is that you don't watch comedies, but you're citing The Sopranos as a comedy.
Because The Sopranos is hilarious, dude. The Sopranos is hilarious. You kidding me? The Sopranos is hilarious. Sure, it has some of the gore, you know, tied into, you know, whatever business. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But whatever business that, you know.
I know he's a mobster. That's all.
Yeah. With the mob stuff that he does. But there's some hilarious moments in The Sopranos. Okay. There's a healthy amount of hilarious moments in The Sopranos. To me.
Right. I'll check it out. Bet. That was a failure of a fifth question. Try again next time. I will be asking these questions next week, and there will be much less football questions. As far as next week goes, my week is crazy busy. I think we're going to know a lot about what's happening in free agency Wednesday. But if you don't get a show Wednesday, expect a show next sometime towards the end of the week of the 27th, because I'll have Utah State at the end of the week that I'll have to contend with. But we'll keep an eye on the Twitter at EndZonePod, and we'll keep you updated. But we'll definitely do a free agency recap show. But yeah, this has been good, great, Trey. I'm gonna go put this up, and we will see you next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Peace out.